country that we do, that we have access to so much, don't we? I remember growing up and having a lot of fresh fruit. My dad was in farm management for years, and he would bring things right out of the fields into our home, and I would ask, do we have to have tomatoes again tonight? When my mom would serve cantaloupe at every meal, I looked forward to cantaloupe after dinner, only because ice cream would, after you ate the half of cantaloupe, would be in the middle of the cantaloupe. That's the only way we would get it, because she wouldn't waste the fruit, of course, right? Moms are good at that. I was blessed. I had no idea that it was living, we're living in a fruit basket, so to speak, living, growing up in the Central Valley. We have an array of fruit here, and the Apostle Paul was doing some teaching on this to a church that was hearing a message over and over again. Take on the old way of working. The Judaizers were the ones who were saying to the new converts, you've got to act like we were acting. Now let me describe this. The Talmud, which is the Jewish teachings of all of the rabbis of the day, and by the time that Jesus walked on the earth, there were seven different volumes. I've seen the copies of them. I have to honestly admit that I wasn't going to read through all of them. Okay. It was seven volumes translated to interpret what? The Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, all of those. The Jewish rabbis had done phenomenal work telling us, teaching. Here's how far you can walk on the Sabbath, because if you walk too far, you will break the law, right? Because it's one of the rules of the Ten Commandments is not to work on the Sabbath. You can only walk 7 point, I think it's 7.8 miles that translates over, according to the Talmud, or the teachings of the rabbinical teachings of the day. So Jesus came to the world into the context and said, I don't think that's the point, to keep all these rules and regulations. He said, no, I don't think that's the point. Now, again, the Apostle Paul was teaching. You heard about the Apostle Paul last week when we talked about how he was there when Stephen, whom was the first of those who gave his life for his faith, right there, he was. They remember all those who were throwing the stones at Stephen went and put their cloak as a sign of representation right at the feet of Paul. That's what this text tells us in the book of Acts. We read that. Wow. And Paul has transformed and changed into a person who said, now let this, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, let that be our testimony. Within years after what we learn about the earliest church in Rome where Paul was martyred himself, because he was the next of the Christian martyrs, we know that the Christians were the ones who led the hospice programs, the hospitals. They were the ones willing to get around disease because in the culture of the day in Rome, if somebody was sick, they would send them to the outpost. They would send them out of town. If you had leprosy, you were placed away from anyone. You couldn't be around anybody. So you have to understand the context. It was the Christians that responded and said, no, we'll love. We will do things because we know our actions will make a difference. So let fruit lead in our lives. So let me suggest four things I believe that this text will help us see in understanding how we can think like Jesus. Jesus is recorded as saying this in John's gospel, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain, he said, remain in my love. Remain in my love. God revealed his story because he loves us. Randy Frazee in the Believe series really presents this, and you've heard it over and over again in the series on Believe, that the Bible really is the story. They have understood that and helped us to see we're to present the story. God revealed his story because he loves us. When you obey my commandments, Jesus said, you remain in my love. You stay connected to the vine. John 15 is all about that. We'll dig more into that later in the series. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Remain in whose love? The Father, the love of the Father. Thinking like Jesus. A few years ago, we did a study out of Soul Keeping by John Ortberg. He said this, he said, spiritual transformation is not a matter of trying harder, but of training wisely. Many of us get tired and we'll say, I don't have time to read the word. And I would say, well, look for some tools. You know, like Jeff said, that you can pull out your phone and there's Bibles you can put on your phone, text for the day. You can get an email a day. Sometimes people do it that way. I mean, you have to read your email, right? So there it is. It just shows up in your email box. And it's right there. A matter of training and saying, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to think like Jesus. How can you think like Jesus unless you know what he's saying? All right? Secondly, the rich young ruler, or young urban professional, I've heard it translated in a different way, was being asked by Jesus a question. What is the greatest commandment of the law? This is Jesus. This is how he interacted with people. It's sort of like what Queenie says, we do a spiritual question. It's a great opportunity because you find out where people are. Are they here or are they over? Have they crossed over? He asked, what's the greatest commandment in the law? You must love the Lord your God. He knew. He had grown up with all the teaching. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, he says, with all your strength, with all your mind. It goes back to that head and heart connection. Because Jesus came to connect the head and the heart. I don't know if he ever really wanted to deal with those seven volumes. You know what I'm saying? I think he did. But he just said, we don't need those anymore. They're done. That won't help us. We must learn to love it. And then the second is actually in the text today. We saw it. Paul just say it again. Love your neighbors as yourself. That's the two messages. So love is the message of the New Testament. To act like Jesus. To think like Jesus. Act like Jesus. And when we do, we begin to see and understand, as my mentor for learning about life, The Basic Christianity by John Stott was the book that moved me when I was in an InterVarsity fellowship meeting. It was being passed out. InterVarsity Press has printed his works for years. Why? Because he teaches a very simple message. Right here it says, love, he said, is the preeminent grace. The preeminent before all things. Love was there. God loved the world. He said, I want that. More than anything else, it's greater than right beliefs, greater than faith, greater than religious experiences, greater than service, greater than all those things. You know, I will tell people often that the greatest fear I have on a Sunday morning is getting up in front of people and just being a noisy gong. That's what the text says in 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody knows that's the love chapter. Beware, he says. You remember that horrible show that was called The Gong Show? Remember that? Some of you remember it. Some of you are old enough. Some of you are too young. That's all right. It was a horrible show. Don't watch it. It's terrible. Somebody would sing, and then somebody would go over and hit it. It was so bad. They would go and hit that thing fast because it was horrible. That's what I would think about. Stop. Don't be boring. Don't make the gospel boring. Let it emerge. Love is the preeminent Christian grace. It goes like this. If I fathom all mysteries and I have all knowledge, but if I have not love, I am what? Nothing. That's what the text says. I'm nothing. Love is greater than knowledge. And then at the end of the love chapter, the chapter 13, verse 13, three things remain. Three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? You know what it is. We know what it is. It's love. Love is the greatest because it moves people. It moves people towards the kingdom. It moves people to understand how Jesus thought and how he acted. But also, it gives the opportunity. I love this picture. I've kept it in my repertoire because I love the way gardeners work the soil. And before you get fruit, you have to have it what? Fertilized. It needs to have some kind of action. We love our bees. You can't see the bee there maybe in the picture, but it's there. And it's doing what? It's doing its work. And that's the kingdom work. We are that tool in the kingdom that can be used for that. For love, as we've come to understand it in the New Testament, is agape. Totally different Greek word that was not used in the language. The New Testament authors were very specific when they began to write the word love. They could have used the word eros, but it didn't fit. That was the Greek word for love between partners, erotic, eros. Or they could have used the word philia. You've heard of the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Philia, we had that love. But they said, that doesn't work. So they grabbed another word called agape, sacrificial. It is actually the love of Jesus. It's the unmerited deeds to help a needy person. One of our leaders for the Winter Sanctuary told me this week that one of the youngest of the our guests that came for the week that we were here, he was 18. I didn't realize he was that young. He was 18. Was able to enter into a drug rehabilitation program this week. But it was only made possible because of the connection of being in the Winter Sanctuary. It's good to get people off. That's the whole reason for the program, is to get them the resources they need. That's love. Just like love is reaching out, and we'll see some pictures later of love in a different way, is becoming like Jesus. How do we become like Jesus? Well, Eugene Peterson, I believe, just asked the question in his translation. He says, well, what happens when we love God's way? What does happen? People get moved. What? He brings gifts into our lives. Much the same way fruit appears in the orchard. It takes a while for fruit to appear, right? And here's how he translates the passage I read earlier, things like affection for others. That's the word for love. Things like affection for others. It's not us. If we love God's way, it's not us doing it, but it's God doing it through the Spirit with us, becoming like Jesus. Ortberg goes on to say in his book and his work, following Jesus simply means learning from how to arrange my life around activities that enable you to live the fruit of the Spirit. Can you live the fruit of the Spirit in everyday living? That's really what the gospel is all about, the New Testament. Paul was all about that. How do we apply this? How do we stop the law from invading us? He said to the Judaizers, who were the people he was actually saying, stop, don't listen to them, stop. Now engage here. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. Let that be your lead. Let that help you to live freely. He closes this chapter with these words. Since this is the kind of life we've chosen. You see, we've left the rules, the rituals. We left that over here. He said, there's a better way to live. The life of the Spirit. Let us make sure that we don't just hold to it as an idea in our heads, or a wonderful sentiment in our hearts. I love what Peterson's done here. He said, don't let it just be a good idea. No, let it work out its implications in our everyday lives. It's what people are watching in everyday living. It will take time for people to capture it. It takes time to work the soil, for farmers to work, for the orchard to grow fruit. It just takes time, and that's living free in the Spirit. This week, some kids came down and did. I got a chance to go up and take a few pictures. It was fun, so I'm going to put it up here because I was moved by the fact that they were doing this for other kids, homeless kids, because the people that Downtown Ministries came and picked up these 65 bags of loving Valentines. And what's interesting is we took some pictures, and the leader of this project, she's very sharp. Dina Jones, she takes pictures, she prints them up, and then she gives them to the children who are receiving the bag, saying, these are the kids who gave you the bag. It didn't just come from an adult over here who went down to the store and bought the bag, right? But these are the hands that put little things into the bag that make the difference. Do you see there's a difference? The little things are what makes a difference in understanding what love is. It's not just putting a heart on it, saying, well, that's love. No. It's more than that. It's actually when we act out of love that we see it. Living freely means, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading, I love this translation, in every part of our lives. Since we are living by the Spirit, we've chosen the Spirit, we've chosen to live by God's Spirit, not by all the rules. We left those behind and said, you know, those didn't help. Here's what helps. Here's what guides. Here's what directs me. I love this little picture because it describes everything about what this passage is about. He says this. He says, it's one thing to know the story of the Bible, but it's another thing to live it. You see, you can know all about this, right? We know that. You've heard me say that. We could know all the story. In fact, some of us get stuck in trying to make sure I'm right about everything. We Presbyterians are good at getting it right. I mean, I study with all these wonderful professors. They were more concerned about getting it right, and that's good. I needed it because I would have flown right by it. But it's more than just knowing it. It's now actually saying, I can live this. I need to see it living. And I'll tell you that the professors that made the difference for me were those who lived it, who could show me that. And I think, if I can be so bold to say, it's those mentoring relationships that we have with others that make that difference. It's not that knowledge. And Paul said it. It's not knowledge that's the greatest. He said, love is the greatest because it has the greatest chance to share the story. It's one thing to know the story, but it's another thing to live it. So let us live it freely. Let us love freely. It's not cheap. It comes with a cost. But Jesus gave it all. Gave us an opportunity to choose the Spirit. Well, we thank you for your word, for we know it doesn't return void. And when we apply your word, when we let your word live in us, when we let your Spirit live in us, we know that it can produce fruit. It produces love. And Lord, in this series, as we learn more about what it means to love, we know too that joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, all of those things will follow. It will allow us to truly grow and say, I have something to offer this world. And it's more than just my ideas, but it's a way of life. So Lord, let us live our lives as a way, the way that you taught us. For you are the way. Thank you for being the way, the truth, and the life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.